Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 16th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the second Sunday of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we gather together in this unique way to celebrate that good news. It's a joy to welcome you here. I pray that your Easter celebrations have been rich and full and faith-affirming, and we carry on with the story of the resurrected Christ today. And as we do so, let's begin first by celebrating this breath of life, the gift of life. To take in each and every breath, knowing that it's truly a gift from God. To let the tension come off of your shoulders, to turn your face toward the sky. Think about those things that are the rich blessings of your life, the people and the places and the situations. And breathe, and maybe just allow a smile to come to your face. And in this posture, we begin together in worship. Please join me in the opening prayer as printed in the bulletin. You can find the bulletin just below the line where you found today's podcast. There's a notes tab there. Just tap on it, click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty. And restore all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace to the glory of your name. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We thank you for the gift of your word, alive and among us. We pray for your enlightenment, your blessing, your peace. Ours is a faith seeking understanding. Be our understanding, O God. Save us from distraction and misinterpretation. Open our hearts and minds to what it is you have to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we say, Amen. Have you ever been afraid? Really afraid? I think most of us have had moments in our lives when we were deeply fearful, fearful for our own lives, fearful of some calamity happening in our lives. And so right there, I think we can have some empathy. We can put ourselves in the minds and in the hearts of these disciples who gather on this first day of the week. It had been quite a first day of the week. It all started before sunrise. As John tells it, Mary was making her way to the tomb to anoint her beloved Jesus, only to find that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb and the tomb was empty, and she assumed the worst because, well, it seemed like a lot of the worst was happening. She went home to tell the others, and two of them ran to the tomb to find it's just as she said. He's not in the tomb. They seemed to have a different interpretation than Mary. They looked at each other and they ran home. Mary sticks around and has an encounter with the risen Christ, has a conversation with him, wants so desperately to hug him. But he has work for her to do. Go home and tell the others. And she does that. We don't really know how well she's received. It's big news that she has. I'd imagine it goes a little bit like Thomas's reaction to the disciples after their encounter with Jesus. I appreciate what you're saying, guys, but unless I see him, unless I touch the wounds, unless I hear his voice, I can't believe like you believe. You have an advantage over me. And so now it's evening on that first day. And they're gathered in that special meeting place. They're gathered in fear. The door is locked. Why are they afraid? Why is the door locked? John tells us for fear of the Jews. And we got to pause there for a minute because they themselves are Jews. They're afraid of this corrupt authority, the ones that invaded the sacred space of the garden and arrested their rabbi. Arrested him, gave him a mock trial, and murdered him. And they collaborated with the occupying Roman authority to do so. Their doors were locked in fear of misguided religion. The doors were locked in fear of corrupt mechanisms of power. And in the midst of this fear, in the midst of the intense conversations that had to be going on, conversations that began under this topic, what are we going to do now? Because if they did it to him, surely they're going to do it to us too. And what if this story? Is he really alive like Mary says? And then it happens. Jesus came and stood among them and said, opening line, right? Nothing else. Hey guys, how you doing? No. Peace be with you. Immediately he has to calm the storm. Peace be still. He walks into the storm of fear and chaos and uncertainty and unknowing, and he brings peace. Because in the presence of Jesus, there is peace. We begin with fear, and as soon as Jesus steps in, we find peace. And he said to them again, peace be with you. He says this after he shows them his hands and his side. And they knew without a doubt, for they had seen him with their own eyes, that it was Jesus. It was indeed just as Mary said, just as they'd hoped for, just as he had told them weeks prior. There stands the risen Lord before them, and he bids them peace, and he breathes his spirit out on them. His life's breath fills the room, and they take it in, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And in receiving that Spirit, in receiving this full life of Christ into themselves, he blesses them with the authority to forgive sins, to bring people into relationship with God at the same level that they have it. So let's just, for a few minutes, pick up a few words out of here. First, we've talked about this a little bit already, fear. Fear in the locked door. So to pull it out of this context and put it into our own lives, we have all kinds of locks. I know I can think of all kinds of locks that I have. I have a lock on my car door. One of the last things I do in the evening before I go to bed for the night is make sure all the doors on the house are locked. We keep the church locked. You might have possessions in some kind of a lockbox. For fear of what? Often it's for fear of some kind of property crime. Someone taking your stuff, the things that don't belong to them, for fear of a violent intruder. Which are reasonable and, I guess, good reasons, right, to lock up. But there are other locks that maybe are not operated with a key or a key fob. The things that we keep locked away because we don't want maybe other people to find out about them. Things that make us feel vulnerable. Wounds that we have that we can keep some makeup on top of. Scars that we've endured that we feel ought to be private. Sins, ways that we have not conducted ourselves as citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. We keep these things locked away as well for fear. For fear of being shamed or exploited. For fear of our own embarrassment. the destruction of our egos, might be helpful as we read this text now, and I pray, I always pray that you'll read it later on in the day too, to think of the places where we experience fear and the things that we keep locked away for fear that someone on the other side of that door might come in and learn something about us that we don't want them to know. That they might find a weakness in us that we can't trust them with. When he breathes out his peace, these are the places where he gives us assurance that in his presence, everything will be all right. And that we can be invited into relationship with him, that is, to be forgiven, to be in salvation, is to be in this relationship with you. So what's the key that unlocks that lock that allows us to breathe for a minute when he says, peace be with you? Pray for the peace of God that can allow you to unlock some of those locks, those doors, and allow him to come in. And then even sometimes, when we think it's all locked up tight, he'll come in anyway and bring his peace to settle our fear, particularly the fear that does not serve us well, the fear that keeps us from enjoying life to the full, the fear that keeps us from perhaps loving our neighbor, loving our God, in the most challenging kind of love of all, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. So he comes in to this locked door where there is a great deal of fear in the room, and he brings his peace because, again, in the presence of Christ, there is peace. And they see him. They see him with their eyes. They know it's him. He's different. And now he can walk through walls, but he's physically present with them. They see him with their physical eyes, but it changes something in them. Their earthly physical eyesight has given them a broader and deeper spiritual kind of vision. It's a beautiful moment, and he anoints them for ministry when he breathes out their spirit and tells them that they can retain sins and they can forgive sins. But Thomas wasn't there. As faithful a disciple as any of them, but he wasn't there. He didn't see with his physical eyes. And he was encouraged by their story, but it was their story. It was their witness, not his. And by incredible grace, a week later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them this time. And the doors were shut. Now, he doesn't mention that they're locked this time. And like with John, you got to pay attention to every word. The doors were shut, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he seems to clearly be here for Thomas, because the next thing he says after peace be with you is, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. That last latch, that last lock had been opened. For Thomas, he had to have that experience. He sees, and so he believes. And Jesus uses this, I believe, not just as a lesson for Thomas, but for all of them. You've seen and you've believed. But there will be those who come after you who will not have this experience. And blessed are they, because they will come to believe. part of the commissioning, I believe. It's part of the same moment when he says, go and tell the others. Go and tell the others. Why? Why is that effective? Because that means that they are now the hands and the feet, the wounded hands and the wounded side of Christ. Show and tell the others that Jesus is Lord, so that they will come to believe and be blessed. Why does he tell us this? Why? Verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. It's such good news, I've got nothing else to say. Jesus is alive. Welcome him into your locked rooms. Receive his peace and his forgiveness. And then go out and tell the others. Again, good news, to which I say, amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. Holy One, meet us here. In the midst of our joys and our concerns, in the midst of our daily living, when we stand in the bright light of day or when we find ourselves hiding behind locked doors, Spirit of the living God, come and be among us, we pray. Anoint us with hope and peace and love and joy. Enlighten us with your truth. Forgive us. Help us to walk upright. And help us to encourage others to do the same. We pray for this good world that you've made, O God, that you would infuse all of it with resurrection hope and truth. That you are God, that there is no earthly authority that has power outside of you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Anoint the ones who make big decisions. Soften their hearts to your people. Open their eyes. Help them to see your wounded hands and side. That they would drop to their knees and confess your name. That they would say with their lips, Jesus is Lord. And they believe it in their hearts and express it in their lives. And so too with us. Bring peace. And in response to your peace, O God, help us to be agents of your grace and mercy and peace, to heal and to forgive. God, you know us, each and every one of us. You know our life stories. And you know the prayer list that we keep. Our thoughts, our hopes and our desires for the people and the places and the situations in our lives, O God. And we ask, in all faith, would you join us in this moment, right where we are, no matter where we are. Hear us, O God, and help us to hear you as we make sacred and quiet space to sit in your presence. We break our silence. And we pray, O God, we join together in a prayer that you taught your first students. And they were courageous, and they were faithful, and they passed it on generation upon generation. We've learned it in different translations, but we pray that you'd join us, that you'd hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we part company, as we move on with our day, I pray that you will do so with renewed courage. I pray that you will do so with a profound sense of the peace of Christ, a peace that passes understanding, a peace and a love that casts out fear, so that we would have the courage and the strength to go out and tell the others with our words and with our lives in service to our God and in love of our God who knows us in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.